something really strange has happened. Just let me. Just bear with me. Oh. My sermon just disappeared. Wow. Okay. Anyways. This is strange, and it's funny because there's only a portion of it there, the rest is missing. Okay. Amen. The sermon I prepared this morning is gone. I'm going to preach on another sermon this morning. If you have Bibles with you, the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. We begin reading from verse 8. Second Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings 6, 8 to 23. as I was growing up, most of you know my story. My parents were not in church. Most of the times, I witness a lot of really, really terrible things happen at home. We would have parties at home, and I witnessed both my parents. You know, they were all drinking. House parties were happening at home. But one day, my mom decided to. First of all, it was my mom who initially was the first one who. Accepted Jesus into her heart, became born again. So one day they decided, you know, they eventually came around to the point where they begin to teach us some values. They begin to teach us, you know, the value of hard work, the value of honesty, and, you know, that success comes at a price, that you need to put in the hard yards. They taught us honesty, being true to your word. They taught us integrity. For us to be honest, be truthful in all that we do. The people should be able to trust you, that you need to be man and woman, a man or a woman of your word. And that when you say that you'll be there at a certain time, you're going to be there. And one of the key values that also drive us, or that drove us, was for us to respect our parents, respect our elders, and also to respect headship. Now, headship is something. Headship is anyone who is above you. You may be in the school, your headship is probably your teacher. If you are in a working environment, if you are working somewhere, your headship is your boss. If you're in your home, your headship probably, if you are a child, your headship is your parents. Amen? If you're a wife, your headship is your husband. Headship is anyone who is above you, who is responsible for you, who is looking after you. And headship is something that is very common in our societies, whether it be in the Itoke culture or in the Indo-Fijian culture. We have leaders in our communities, we have leaders in our families, we have leaders in government and so on. We have leaders in the villages, our chiefs. And the common idea in most of these cultures, in most of these societies, in most of these organizations is that we need to come under headship. There is the common idea that there is a need for us to respect and submit to headship. For you kids, your headship are your parents. Amen? Teachers, maybe your teachers in your school, maybe it's your grandparents, maybe your aunt, your uncle. For us adults, our headships can be our parents, like I said already, our bosses, leaders in the community, and so on. I mean, if you know that in the kingdom of God, we also have headship. Amen? We also have leaders, overseers, and especially pastors who have been appointed, ordained by God to watch over us, to guide us, to direct us in the things of God. This morning, when you recognize the importance of submitting to headship, the importance of coming under headship, when you allow headship to counsel you, advise you, or even rebuke you, especially godly headship, you'll be blessed abundantly. Now, the text we're about to read this morning, I've already preached on this text once, but it is a different idea. The text we're about to read this morning is of the king, about the king of Israel and the man of God, Elisha. Israel was at war with Syria, and the man of God played an important role in advising the king, instructing him on what he needed to do, and also praying and standing in the gap. And Israel had victory because the king listen to the man of God. And the same can apply to you and I this morning. We have men of God who have been placed in our lives, men of God who represent godly headship in our lives. So this morning I want to preach on a sermon that I have entitled, The Blessings of Godly Headship. The Blessings of Godly Headship. Let's read our text, 2 Kings 6, 8. It says, Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, My camp will be in such and such a place. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you do not pass in this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to him, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants says, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, Surely he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by the night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I jump down to verse 19. And verse 19 says, Now Elisha said to them, This is not the way, nor is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Hallelujah. Firstly, this morning, I want to talk about the divine gift of headship. Now, as I was reading this story about this father. He knew that his family was going to, it was Father's Day, and his family were going to get him a gift for Father's Day. So he suggested to his family, get me something that will benefit the whole family. I don't want something that will just benefit me. I want something that will benefit the whole family. And what the family got him? The family got him a wallet, new wallet. Now, how many of you have ever received a gift? A gift is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of affection. People care about you. They love you. So that's why they get you a gift. Maybe it's for your birthday, maybe it's an anniversary, maybe it's a Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever it is. Or just a gift for being a friend. If you know that the God that we serve loved us so much that he gave us a gift. He gave us the gift of salvation. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our helper and comforter. Now, he also gave us this divine gift to help us in our walk with him, to guide us, to instruct us, and to advise us. And that is the gift of pastors this morning, the gift of godly headship in the body of Christ. In the book of Philippians 4:11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." For what? For the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God, he is the one who gave us that gift. He himself gave some to be apostles. God is giving us those gifts. Another translation in the ERV translation says, "At the same time, Christ gave these gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to care for and teach God's people." Now why? Why does God give us these gifts? The Bible is very clear. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In the church this morning, your pastor is there to help you. He is in touch with God. He brings a word in season from God to you. I remember Pastor Coley always uses this illustration. Your pastor is like a L. You see the L? And it's like a L. He receives from God, and then from God, it goes out to you. You know, sometimes the word you hear from him may not be what you want to hear, but it is what you need to hear. There's a blessing that comes with headship, and especially godly headship. I've mentioned this story already. Sometimes my wife and I would come to church. We'll just have a fight before we come to church. And then when we came to church, God would speak to us directly through the message, through his servant, through the preaching. In our text this morning, the king of Israel was blessed to have a man of God on his side. He was warned by the moves of the Syrian king. He was instructed by the man of God on what he needed to do and what he should not do. Imagine if he had not listened. You know, the man of God told the king, "Don't go to such and such a place, for the Syrians are there. They lie in wait for you." In verse 2 Kings 6:9, it says, "And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.'" No, you and I are blessed to have a man of God on our side. We are blessed to have a pastor on our side. More importantly, the blessings come when you choose to obey and when you choose to take heed of the instructions, of the advice, and especially of the word of God that is coming to you from this pulpit. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Secondly, this morning, I want to talk about the blessings of headship. What are some of the blessings of headship? Firstly, they warn you of danger. Verse 9 of our text, it says, "And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.'" Here you have a man of God who was warning the king of Israel of danger. He was saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place." Now, this is the function and the blessings of headship. They warn you of danger. Now, many times I've seen people who disregard this warning, and they end up losing big time. I've seen people who've disregarded these instructions, these warnings, and they end up getting hurt. They end up losing in their marriages. They end up losing in their jobs. They end up losing money. They end up losing their salvation. Some even end up losing their own lives. Imagine if this king, if the king of Israel had not listened to the warning of the man of God. He would have died. As we, for you and I this morning, let's take heed of the warning of the man of God. I have a pastor that I come under. Yesterday, as I was outreaching there was this guy. I don't know, he comes from a certain church, and as I begin to witness to him, I know I challenged him. I told him, if you're to die right now, do you know where you're going? And he said, oh, I'm not sure. I think I will not make it. And as I began to share with him, as I begin to witness to him, at the end of all that, he started to also witness back to me. He witnessed back to me. He started telling me about his own life story, and he started sharing his testimony. And after that, he also invited me to his church. And I said, which church are you going to? What time is the service? He said, one. Oh, I said, oh, sorry, I can't. And I told him, I'm the pastor of the church that I'm in. I said, yeah, are you the pastor? I said, yeah. So he started challenging me on some doctrine. He started telling me about, so you have a president? You have a superintendent? What is the structure? And I said, no, I don't have a president. I just have a pastor. He's my head. I come under headship. And he started asking me all these questions about headship, about all these questions. And then he said, but didn't the Bible say that we should only have like pastors, evangelists, preachers, and teachers? And I said, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. He said, but why? And then he started naming all the churches. Why so-and-so formed this church and call him the president? Why? I said, bro, the important thing is just you and your relationship with God. Just that's the main thing. You and God. Because your church is not going to take you to heaven. If the church is teaching you wrong doctrine, then your pastor will be under accountable for that. But the point I was driving at to him is that we are under headship. I said, my headship, my pastor, he counsels me, he rebukes me, you know, he tells me things that I don't want to hear, but he tells me straight in the face. You know, church, our the men of God or our pastors are like, they're like a watchman. They watch over our lives. Ezekiel 3:17 says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warnings from me. Now, many times we take heed of the warning of others. We take heed of the warning of the hurricane. When the hurricane warning comes, we bolt down our houses. We fill up water. When water authorities say there's going to be water cut, we fill up water same time. When FEA say there's going to be a power cut, we start charging our phones. We started boiling all the drinking water. We take heed of all these warnings. But when you hear the warning of the man of God through the sermon, through the teaching, or just his instruction, do you follow? Do you take heed of that? James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Another blessing of headship is that they pray for you. Right? One blessing of headship is they warn you. The other blessing of headship is that they pray for you. In our text this morning, 2 Kings in verse 18, 2 Kings 6:18, he says, when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Church, let me tell you this morning, your pastor prays for you. I remember once my pastor said these words, if you want to know the names of the people in your church, pray for them. Now the beauty and blessing of headship is that you are covered in prayer. Your headship has your name in their prayer list. I remember once Pastor Perry, when I came to the Suva Church, I was shocked that he knew me by name. I asked my pastor, how come he knows my name? And pastor, oh, he must be praying for you. No, as a church, there is a connection in prayer when people of God link hearts and they come into one accord and they storm heavens for our needs. You know, you may have noticed on Thursday, I sent out a Viber message requesting for prayer for Brother Tevita. I hope that you did something about that. I hope that you actually prayed. I see a few people liking it. It is my hope and prayer that you also prayed. Now, prayer is really important for us as Christians. You and I, we need to stand in the gap. In fact, the sermon that I lost this morning is on prayer. I don't know where it's gone. It's just disappeared. It's just so strange, I tell you. I had it open. It had everything. By the time I opened it to look where it was, it only had the first page. The rest of it is missing. You and I need to be men and women of prayer. Prayer is like a foundation of the Christian faith. Without prayer, we are like operating just on the flesh. You know, most of the times we do a lot of good things for the church, for God. We go outreach. We are in all the church events. We are here every service. We are here for the fasting. We fast. You know, we are outreaching. We are there in ministry. We involve in drama and all this. But most of the time, we ignore the key component, which is prayer. No, let me tell you, if you operate without prayer, it's like an electric power line without any electricity. No shock. The prayer is something that is really key for us, you and I as Christians. You know, my life is a result of prayer. The prayers of many people. My mom prayed for me. I think I mentioned it in the Sunday school. For over 19 years of her life, she prayed for me. She prayed for me from the time I was 16 to the time I became 35. She continued to pray for me. I would sleep in my room and hear her praying for me. She never gave up. She never gave up on me. And God came through. My wife prayed for me. In my Hawaii days, she was going to church. She prayed for me. My mother-in-law prayed for me. My pastor prayed for me. There were other prayer groups, people that were praying for us. Let me tell you this. If you are married in this place, your family will be blessed if you cover them in prayer. Amen? There is a blessing of headship. You know, if you are married in this place, you are men in your house, you are the priest in the home. Then it is your role as the head of the family to continue to cover your children, your wife, your family, those who come under your care, cover them in prayer. Another blessing of headship is that they instruct you. So blessing of headship, firstly, they warn you of danger. Secondly, they pray for you. Another blessing of headship is they instruct you. Now the blessing of headship, one of the blessings of headship is the sound and godly advice, godly instructions that we receive. In our text this morning, the man of God instructed both his servant and the king to do a few things. In verse 16, he instructed his servant, "Do not fear." This is the time when the Syrian army had come and surrounded them. They woke up in the morning, they saw that the Syrian army had surrounded them. And he told his servant, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You know, he gave his servant that reassurance that God is in control. He gave his servant those words of comfort, those words of encouragement. "Don't worry. It's going to be okay." Now, when we first went into Nosori to pioneer, even the discussions or the discussions about all the decisions that were leading up to that, we received a lot of instructions from our headship. My pastor was one of those who were giving me those advice. Pastor Perry giving me those advice and encouragement. All the pioneer pastors, Pastor TJ, you know, they looked at me, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." They were giving us instructions. "You just go and do your part. Leave the rest to God. Don't worry, it's going to be okay." Even overseas, some of our pastors from overseas, they messaged me and they said, "You're going to be okay. Take courage." In our text this morning, verse 21 and 22, the man of God gave instructions to the king on what he needed to do. 2 Kings 6:21 says, "Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I kill them?'" Now if you read the story, if you realize what happened, right towards the end of that story, the Syrians somehow were confused by God and they were led back into the city. They were led back into the city and they were surrounded by the Israelites. And as they were surrounded, the king prayed and asked this, "My father, shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their masters." Imagine, he had his enemies right there in front of him, this king. They were trapped. What did he do? He asked advice from godly headship. "What shall I do?" he asked them. "Should I kill them?" How many of you in this place, when you're in a similar situation, when you're in a tight spot, how many of you ask for your pastor's advice? How many of you allow your pastor to instruct you, to give you sound advice? Because he is there to watch over you. Because he will give an account for you. And let me tell you this, your pastor has your best interest at heart. Sometimes you may not like the advice or the instruction he gives you, but it is for your own benefit. Sometimes you will be rebuked. Sometimes you will be scolded. Sometimes you will be corrected. But that's all part of the growing process. That's the blessing of headship. Amen? Oh, no one said amen. Thank you, Mrs. Redule. Proverbs 21:1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Imagine that. That's Proverbs. Let me read that again. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I don't know how else to say it. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. Thirdly, as I bring this to a close, I want to talk about your attitude towards godly headship. Your attitude towards godly headship. You know, one of the beautiful things about our fellowship is the fact that we embrace godly headship. No, one of our pastors always says this, your leader is your best friend. The moment you treat him like an enemy, you're going to be in trouble. The moment you treat correction like an enemy, the moment you treat instructions like an enemy, I tell you this, very little hope. Now, the moment we accept it, when we accept godly headship, when we thrive in it, when we accept it, when we take it on board, when we take it on the chin, you and I, we are going to thrive. Now, I have a pastor. He is my head. He watches over me. I'm accountable to him. I share with him my issues. I share with him my problems. I share with him, you know, almost everything. I ask for his advice. I tell him my plans. I'm planning to do this. What do you think? He prays for me. I do the same for him. I listen to what he says. I'm not trying to drive into us this cult mentality where we do everything that our pastor says. You know, there's room, of course, for disagreement. There's room for discussions. You know, if you feel that there is a better way to do things, I voice that with my pastor if I feel that there is a need for a way in which things can be done better. He hears my thoughts and my opinion, and we discuss it, and we come to an agreement. But most of the time, I follow his advice. Most of the time, I follow his instructions because I know the blessings that come with it. And for Pastor TJ, he has a pastor. Amen? The chain goes right up. And that is what the guy was asking me yesterday. He was asking me, so who's your leader? And I said, who's his leader? And he realized that he didn't have anywhere to shoot me down. And I said, bro, we try and, as much as possible, we try and follow the pattern of the book of Acts, the first church. For you this morning, you know, we have leadership in place to take care of us. And our duty is also to pray for them. Amen? Ask God to give them godly wisdom. You know, your pastors are not supermen. They're also humans, just like you and I. We're also humans. We're not supermen. We're not spidermen. We are just humans, just like you. And we need your prayers. We need your coverings as well. But one common thing about our leaders, one common thing about these men is that they embrace godly headship. They respect them. They submit to godly headship because they know the blessings that come with it. How about you this morning? Are you ready to embrace spiritual and godly headship? Are you ready to come under your pastor's counsel, your pastor's care? Are you ready to heed his advice, his warning? Are you ready to heed the warnings that come from the pulpit, the advice that comes on the pulpit? Are you ready to ask him for counsel? Are you ready to ask him for advice? Are you ready to ask him questions? Are you ready to draw yourself closer to the man of God? You know, the one thing I admire about the men in this church, they're a very tight-knit group. It's something that I really admire about the men in this church. Very tight-knit, very close to each other, very close to their pastors as well, to their leaders. It's just something that, you know, in other churches, they wish that they have this kind of relationship. And that's something that, you know, we need to embrace. We need to keep that going. Not just the men, the women, the youths. I'm speaking just for the men because those are the people who I interact with mostly. There's a tight knit in the men in this church, which is good, which is admirable. I love that. Amen? And keep that up. And for you ladies, draw yourself closer to my wife. The youths, you know, draw yourself closer to my wife, to me. And I close with this scripture, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, chapter 10, 11, chapter 10 to, sorry, verses 10 to 13. It says, "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk your steps, will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." Hallelujah. As I bring this to a close, you know, the blessings of godly headship warns you of danger, prays for you, instructs you. And the key for us is our attitude towards headship. If we embrace it, if we take it on board, we submit, allow our pastors to instruct us, go to him if we have questions, questions about the Bible, questions about life, major decisions in your life, ask for advice about your marriage, your finances, raising children, anything. You know, the man of God in our text this morning, the king followed the man of God's instructions and advice. And as a result of that, he was able to gain victory. How about you this morning? Whatever battles you're facing, whatever fights you're facing, you know, the man of God is here to help. We are here to help. Me and my wife, we're here to help. And we're here for you. We're here to serve. Hallelujah. That's all I have. Can I have every head bowed, every eyes closed this morning? Hallelujah. In reverence to God, respect to the person sitting beside you this morning. I preached a very simple sermon this morning. The blessings of headship. The blessings that come with